Welcome to our deep dive. And today we're going to be looking at the almighty chance, Zeldovich, Ruzmakin, and Sokolov.
That's right.
And this is going to be a really interesting one, I think, for our listeners, because we're talking about chance and predictability.
Absolutely.
And I think that that's something that everyone can relate to.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love a little bit of chance?
You know?
Keeps things interesting, right?
It does. And, you know, but then we also crave that order and that predictability.
We want to feel like we have some control over our lives,
right?
Some understanding of what's to come.
Exactly.
But as we'll see, it's really that interplay between chance and predictability that makes the world so fascinating.
Right. And this book really delves into that. It looks at how the same mathematical ideas that can explain something as simple as a coin toss can also help us understand the structure of the universe.
It's amazing, isn't it? I mean, when we think about it, the formation of galaxies, the distribution of matter and energy, all these things are influenced by random events.
Right.
But yet there are these underlying patterns that emerge.
Right.
And that's really what we're going to be exploring in this deep dive.
Yeah. So get ready for some aha moments, folks.
Oh, yeah. Lots of those.
Because we're going to be uncovering some really surprising connections between randomness and the patterns that we see all around us.
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking about concepts like probability fractals and intermittency, which is a really cool idea that we'll get into.
Yeah, intermittency. That's a new one for me.
Yeah, it's like randomness with a secret code.
Ooh, okay. I'm intrigued.
Yeah, you should be.
But before we get too far ahead of ourselves,
right,
let's start with something a little bit more familiar.
Oh, sure.
Probability.
Yeah.
Now, most people, when they think of probability, they think about, you know, dice rolls.
Right.
Lottery tickets.
Gambling, yeah.
Gambling, classic examples. But this book takes us way beyond that.
Oh, absolutely. It goes much deeper than that.
Right.
Yeah. And it all started with gamblers, actually. The book talks about this 17th century gambler named Demir.
Okay.
And he ran into a paradox.
A paradox.
Yeah, paradox.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out the odds of winning a particular dice game.
Okay.
And his confusion actually sparked a whole new way of thinking about chance.
Wow.
Which eventually led to the development of probability theory as we know it today.
So this guy, Demir, he basically lost his way into a whole branch of mathematics.
You could say that, yeah, his losing streak had a pretty big impact.
That's amazing.
It is.
But how do we go from dice games to understanding things like the Earth's magnetic field?
Right.
Because I know the book mentions that it flips its polarity at random intervals.
Yeah, that's a great example of how probability goes beyond just equal chances.
Okay.
Right. We can't predict exactly when the Earth's magnetic field will reverse. But by studying past flips, we can determine the probability of it happening within a certain time frame.
Okay.
It's like analyzing the history of a coin toss.
Uh-huh.
You can't know the outcome of the next flip, but you can figure out the overall odds.
So even though the reversals themselves are random, we can still glean some insights into their likelihood?
Precisely. And that's what makes probability so powerful.
That's pretty neat.
Yeah, it is.
But how does this connect to the idea of probability as a measure in the space of events, as the book puts it?
Right.
That sounds a bit abstract to me.
Well, think of it this way. Imagine all possible outcomes of an event as points scattered within a space.
Okay.
Probability is like assigning a weight or importance to each point based on how likely that outcome is.
Okay.
So, for example, with the Earth's magnetic field, the time between reversals becomes a random variable.
Okay.
We can study the distribution of these time intervals and assign probabilities to different ranges.
Right.
It's like mapping out a landscape of possibility.
Okay, I'm starting to see the bigger picture here. So it's not just about saying this has a 50-50 chance of happening.
Right.
It's about understanding the entire range of possibilities and their respective likelihoods.
Exactly. And here's where it gets even more interesting.
Okay.
There's this powerful idea called the central limit theorem.
Central limit theorem.
Yeah. It basically says that even when individual events are random, if you add up the results of many of those events, the sum often follows a predictable pattern.
Wait, so you're telling me that order emerges from randomness?
In a way, yes. It seems counterintuitive, but it's true.
That's wild.
It is. Think about it this way.
Okay.
If you're investing in the stock market,
right,
individual stock picks can be very unpredictable.
Yeah, for sure.
But if you have a diversified portfolio,
right,
those random ups and downs start to average out.
Right.
And you can actually achieve more predictable long-term growth.
So the central limit theorem is at play there.
Exactly. It's working behind the scenes, and it pops up everywhere in science.
Hmm.
From analyzing experimental data to understanding the distribution of galaxies.
Wow. So this seemingly abstract theorem has real-world applications.
Absolutely. It's one of the most powerful tools we have for understanding the world around us.
I'm starting to see how understanding probability can help us make sense of things.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear that.
But the book also mentions this concept of intermittency.
Ah, yes, intermittency.
And if I'm being honest, it sounds a bit intimidating.
Well, it's a fascinating concept.
Okay.
You mentioned earlier that it's like randomness with a hidden structure.
Right.
But how does that actually work? Well, it's like the universe is playing a cosmic game of hide and seek, right?
Okay.
But that's what makes it so fascinating. Imagine looking at the distribution of galaxies in the universe.
Okay.
You might expect them to be spread out evenly.
Right.
But that's not what we observe.
Oh.
Instead, we see clusters of galaxies interspersed with vast voids.
So it's not just random. There's this clumping effect happening.
Precisely. Or think about turbulence in a fluid. You have these seemingly random swirls and eddies.
Right.
But within that chaos, there are sudden bursts of intense activity concentrations of energy that defy the average flow.
Huh.
That's intermittency in action.
So these unpredictable bursts of concentration within a random system?
Exactly.
Okay, I'm starting to get a sense of it. So it's not just that things are random.
Right.
It's that the randomness itself has a pattern to it.
That's a great way to put it.
It's like finding order within the chaos.
Exactly. And what's even cooler is that even with this inherent randomness, we can still predict some properties of these systems, like the size and lifespan of those intermittent structures.
Really?
Yeah, it's like knowing that there will be patches of mushrooms in a forest.
Okay.
But not knowing exactly where each one will pop up.
That's a great analogy.
Right.
And it makes me wonder if intermittency is all around us.
It is.
How does it impact the way we think about things like risk and predictability?
That's a great question. And it leads us to some really mind-bending ideas about fractals' dimensions and the very nature of randomness itself.
Okay, buckle up, everybody. Things are about to get geometrically interesting.
They are.
Okay. So we're back and ready to dive into these mind-bending fractals.
All right, let's do it.
Last time we were talking about intermittency and how it's kind of everywhere.
Yeah, it really is.
Even in the way mushrooms sprout up in a forest.
That's right. It's a great example.
Yeah, so we can't predict exactly where each mushroom will be, but we know there will be patches.
Exactly. We can discern those patterns.
Right. And that's kind of comforting in a way.
It is, yeah. It gives us some sense of order.
Right, like we don't have to map out every single mushroom to know there will be places where we can find them.
Exactly. And this concept scales up in some really surprising ways.
Okay, how so?
Well, the book talks about how cities themselves exhibit intermittency in their growth patterns.
Cities, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's not something you might think about at first.
No, not really. How does that work?
Well, imagine for a moment that a city could grow without any constraints.
Okay.
What shape do you think it would naturally take?
I guess a circle.
Right, like a bacterial colony expanding outward in all directions.
Yeah.
But in reality, cities rarely grow in perfect circles.
Right, because of things like...
Exactly, things like roads, rivers, mountains, zoning laws, all these things constrain the growth.
So the growth is still intermittent.
Yes, but it's channeled in specific directions.
So it's like those time-lapse videos you see of cities growing.
Right. You can see how they stretch out along highways or coastlines.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's still intermittency, but it's interacting with these pre-existing constraints.
This makes me wonder if we're really taking intermittency into account when we plan our cities.
That's a great question, and it highlights a really important point about how intermittency challenges some of our traditional assumptions.
Okay, like what?
Well, especially when it comes to this idea of ergodicity.
Ergodicity. Okay, that's a new one.
Yeah, essentially, ergodicity is this assumption that different types of averages should be equal.
Okay.
If you average something over time, you should get the same result as if you average it over space.
Right.
But intermittency can throw a wrench into that neat little equation.
Okay, I need an example.
Sure, think about your commute time.
Okay.
If you track your commute time every day for a week.
Uh-huh.
Is the average time over that whole week going to be the same as the average time you spend commuting at 8 to 4 a.m. every day?
Probably not.
Right? Because traffic patterns are intermittent.
Yeah, rush hour and all that.
Exactly. The average over time doesn't necessarily reflect the average at a specific point in time.
So ergodicity breaks down.
Exactly. And the book gives some fascinating examples of how this ergodicity violation pops up in fields like genetics and economics.
Okay, so like the average genetic makeup of a species might not reflect the diversity in isolated populations.
Exactly. Or the average speed of cars on a highway might not tell us much about the actual speed of any given car at any given moment.
Right, it's like the speed traps.
Yeah, exactly. Intermittency makes those simple averages a lot less meaningful.
This is really making me rethink how I view the world.
Good, that's the point.
It's like everything is constantly fluctuating, and our traditional ways of thinking about averages and predictions don't always capture that complexity.
And that leads us to a topic that can be a bit unsettling, the link between intermittency and improbable catastrophes.
Okay, now that sounds serious.
It can be, but it's important to understand.
So, what kind of catastrophes are we talking about?
Well, the book uses the Chernobyl accident and the loss of the Phobos 1 spacecraft as examples.
Okay, those are some pretty major events.
They are. And the point is that in both cases, a series of seemingly minor events combined with systemic vulnerabilities led to catastrophic outcomes.
So it's like that old saying, for want of a nail.
Exactly, that cascading effect, where one small thing leads to another and eventually the whole system collapses.
And you're saying that understanding intermittency can help us to recognize these vulnerabilities.
Exactly. It's not just about trying to predict when the next earthquake will hit. It's about understanding the underlying conditions that make a system susceptible to these kinds of extreme events.
This is all starting to feel very relevant to our own lives.
It is, especially in a world where technology is becoming increasingly complex and interconnected.
So, are you suggesting we need to rethink our approach to risk management?
Absolutely. And that connects to a point that philosopher Friedrich Schelling made over 150 years ago.
Okay, what did he say?
Well, he argued that this idea of endless progress is ultimately meaningless because it doesn't account for the potential for catastrophic setbacks.
So, no matter how advanced we think we are, there's always a chance that something could come along and disrupt everything.
That's a sobering thought, but it's important to keep in mind.
It is, but it's also kind of paralyzing, isn't it?
It can be, but the book suggests that recognizing the role of intermittency can actually help us to navigate this uncertainty.
How so?
Well, it's not about eliminating risk entirely, but about understanding and managing it more effectively.
Okay, so instead of trying to control everything, we need to learn to adapt.
Exactly. Embrace the dance between chance and predictability.
Okay, that makes me feel a bit more hopeful.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And I think that's a perfect segue into the final part of our deep dive, where we'll explore some practical steps we can take to apply these insights and navigate uncertainty in our own lives.
Welcome back to our deep dive. You know, we've been exploring the almighty chance,
Yeah.
looking at probability, intermittency, fractals, all this really interesting stuff.
It's been quite a journey.
It has, and I'm really curious to hear, so what does this all mean for us?
Right.
How can we use this knowledge
Yeah.
to navigate a world that often feels, well, pretty unpredictable?
Well, there's no magic formula, but
Ooh.
understanding these concepts, I think you can definitely give us a new way of thinking about chance and risk.
Okay, so let's get practical.
Sure.
Give me a real-world scenario.
Okay.
Say I'm making a big decision, maybe starting a business, investing in something new, or even just planning a cross-country road trip.
Right.
How do I factor in intermittency?
Right. Well, you don't necessarily have to throw out your spreadsheets
Okay.
and just go with your gut.
Right.
Data and planning are still valuable,
Okay.
but it's about being flexible and adaptable in the face of new information.
Right.
And that's where understanding intermittency can be really powerful.
Okay.
Instead of assuming everything will go exactly according to plan,
Right.
you can start to anticipate, those bursts of activity, those unexpected obstacles, and maybe even a few lucky breaks along the way.
So that's like that mushroom analogy we talked about.
Exactly.
You can't predict where you'll find the most mushrooms,
Right.
but you can increase your chances by understanding the patterns of distribution.
Precisely so. Instead of assuming your road trip will take exactly 7 days,
Right.
you should plan for the possibility of detours delays. Or maybe you stumble upon an amazing roadside attraction and want to stay an extra day.
Right. Or get a flat tire. It's nature.
Exactly. You got to be prepared for those unexpected events.
Right. And this applies to so much more than just road trips.
Oh, absolutely. Think about starting a business.
Okay.
You can do all the market research and financial forecasting in the world,
Right.
but there will always be unexpected challenges and opportunities that pop up.
Right.
Understanding intermittency can help you roll with the punches, adapt your strategy,
Right.
and maybe even capitalize on those unexpected bursts of good fortune.
Okay. I'm seeing how this mindset shift can be helpful.
Good.
But what about those improbable catastrophes we talked about?
Right.
Those events that seem to come out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And just throw everything into chaos.
Yeah, those are the ones that keep us up at night.
Right. Is there anything we can actually do to minimize the risk of those?
Well, it's not about eliminating risk entirely.
Right.
But about being mindful of the factors that contribute to those extreme outcomes.
Okay.
Remember Chernobyl? The loss of the Phobos 1 spacecraft?
Yeah.
It wasn't just one major failure that caused the disaster.
Hmm.
It was a series of seemingly minor events, you know, combined with these underlying systemic vulnerabilities
right.
that converged at just the wrong moment.
Creating that perfect storm.
Well, exactly.
So if we can understand how intermittency works,
right.
those bursts of activity, those concentrations of risk,
mm-hmm.
can we start to identify those vulnerabilities and maybe take steps to prevent those perfect storms from forming?
That's the hope. You know, maybe it's about building in redundancies in critical systems,
okay.
diversifying our investments,
right.
or even just being more aware of the potential unintended consequences of our actions.
So shifting from a reactive approach
yeah.
to a more proactive one.
Exactly, being mindful of the risks before they become catastrophes.
This is making me think about how we approach things like climate change or pandemics.
Right.
We often focus on responding to the immediate crisis.
Yeah, we're always playing catch up.
But maybe we should be putting more effort into understanding those underlying vulnerabilities
yeah.
and building more resilient systems that can withstand those inevitable bursts of instability.
Absolutely, because those bursts are going to come whether we like it or not.
Right. It brings us back to Schelling's point about the illusion of endless progress.
It does.
By acknowledging the potential for setbacks and catastrophes,
right.
we can start to build more robust systems and make more informed choices.
And hopefully create a more sustainable future.
It's almost like we're shifting from a mindset of trying to control the world
yeah.
to a mindset of learning to adapt to its inherent unpredictability.
Right, embracing the dance between chance and predictability.
Exactly.
It's a paradigm shift, but I think ultimately a more realistic and empowering way to approach the world.
This has been a really incredible deep dive.
It has.
We've gone from dice rolls to galaxy clusters.
From turbulent flows to the shape of our cities.
And I think what I'm taking away is that understanding this dance between chance and predictability
mm-hmm.
isn't just about academic knowledge. It's about being better equipped to navigate the complexities of our world.
I couldn't agree more. It's about recognizing that chance is always at play.
Right.
But it's not just random chaos. You know, there are patterns, there are mm-hmm. principles. And by understanding those,
right.
we can make more informed decisions, build more resilient systems, and maybe even find a bit more peace of mind in the face of uncertainty.
So even in a world governed by the almighty chance,
yeah.
we're not entirely powerless.
Not at all. We have the power to learn and adapt and make the best of the hand we're dealt.
That's a pretty hopeful message.
It is. And I think a fitting final thought is this.
Okay.
If intermittency can affect everything, from bacteria distribution to nuclear power plant safety, what are some practical steps you can take to manage it in your own life?
That is a great question.
It is, and I hope this deep dive has given you some new tools and perspectives to explore it.
I know I've got some thinking to do, and to all of you listening, if you uncover any insights on your journey with intermittency, we'd love to hear them. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep diving deep.